Hello and welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners and podcast listeners everywhere. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx.
She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, a straight dog is nice. She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you wanna listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay if you need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
This weekly show, Everybody Needs a Little Push, with Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx, will be aired every Wednesdays on Transformation Talk Radio and podcast stations everywhere at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. I am delighted to bring you my weekly podcast program, which I hope will inspire you, coach you,
sometimes make you laugh,
and give you the push moment you need to move forward. And I'm going to do it the pushy Broadway. Straight up. No BS, easy, quick, with answers, suggestions, and directions that will give you a coaching experience that will be part cheerleader and part drill sergeant. Because everybody needs a little push from time to time. And here comes yours.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
Everybody needs a little push.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
The topic of this episode is love and money. We're going to ask the tough questions. Is there a correlation between your love for someone and the money they make? Why is money such a point of contention in a relationship or a marriage? Can fights about money bring down a relationship or a marriage? Why does money trigger an emotional response in relationships? According to an article by Terry Auerbach, the Love Doctor, in Psychology Today, posted online August 27, 2010, she says that 7 in 10 couples report that money causes tension in their relationship. Well, let's examine that with the emails I've received, and we're going to do this episode, Richard Torres and I, my co-host, and see what conclusions we can make. Let's see if any of these things apply to you. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I'm a woman that makes more money than my male partner. This was never an issue between us until recently. Since I make more, I'm the one that's responsible for most of our bills, our savings, and our general spending. I want my partner to stop criticizing my spending choices, as I do not believe that he has a say in how the money is spent, considering that he's not a major contributor. My money, my rules. What do you think? Rebecca from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Well, thanks very much for your letter, Rebecca. Richard and I are talking about this very important topic, love or money, or love and money, or money and love, whatever that is. But here is a very interesting letter. First of all, Richard, I was pointing out to you that here is a woman that makes more money than her male partner.
Yes.
Do you think that is still a thing today in the year 2020?
I think so, yeah. Although not as prevalent at this point, I still think that there has to be, without a doubt, people that still hold their ego in correlation with their partner. There probably are people that are going to feel lesser than if their partner is making more money than them, especially if it's a female, 100%.
Okay, so if a female is making more than a male in a heterosexual relationship, the male feels inferior because of that?
It possibly, yeah. And I hate to leave it as it's not concrete because there are males that are supportive of that. However, I still think that when it comes down to certain males' personality, their egos, and the way that they are going to respond to that, they will certainly feel that kind of challenged by their partner.
So if you decide to move in with your girlfriend and your girlfriend is making three times as much money as you, are you going to feel that way, you think?
For the most part, no. And you might be asking the wrong person because subjectively, I will support my partner. I don't feel intimidated by that. Earnestly, will I feel a challenge to make more income generally? Yes. Because I think that supersedes the male and female dynamic. It'd be the same way if I was making three times more and she might feel challenged. Like, you know what? Like, I want to make my own money for what it's worth.
Okay. That's a very homogenous point of view. And I think that's a good point of view. But I still do think that the whole idea of being a sole breadwinner, and we'll point to some evidence about that, has come to light in our society for as long as we know society and the whole idea of one income, one family, and having the patriarch of the family being the sole breadwinner is something that a man is used to. I also think that
I would agree with that as well, Ellen.
And I think that also men seem to be more tied to their professions in terms of their identity than women are. So how much they make.
I would agree with that as well, actually.
Okay.
Just based on the societal structure we've had for, I mean, a very long time, but let's just say 20th century to now. But yeah, for a very long time, women had to wear a lot of hats. They could have been working or not, but they were mothers taking care of children at home. Even if they didn't have children, they were still taking care of their partner, making sure that the home was comfortable once their partner came back home, where pretty much like you're saying, a male would just get up, go to work, come back, and almost have whatever expectation it is of their partner when they arrive back home.
Yes, I mean in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, even early 70s,
right.
The role of the woman was very clearly defined. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Stay at home, watch the kids, putter around the house, make sure dinner was on the table, laundry, cleaning, housework, the things that went along with a woman taking care of a home and being a good wife.
Sexy.
In fact, the whole idea until the late 60s of a woman going out and getting her own apartment on her own was something that was somewhat taboo in households. I know that I was really frowned upon to go out and get my own place if I wasn't going to be married, if I wasn't married.
Mm-hmm.
It was not looked upon as something that a woman did. A woman waited to get married and to have her husband take care of her.
More or less, yeah.
So that translates into the man primarily being the sole breadwinner. And that's the way it's been ingrained for a long time. So I would suggest that most men, as liberal as they think they are in their heads, are still tied to their career and their income.
I would agree with that. And I think that's why I want to bring up the word competitive. I think they'll look at it generally. I mentioned it earlier. Maybe a partner will look at their other partner who makes the most money and think, okay, maybe I have to step up my game, if you will, and make a little more money. However, I think from a male standpoint, that doesn't go away. I think that the times have changed and it's very obvious that it has.
The reason that time has changed is because women are now in the workforce as much men, if not more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the economy has changed in general. I know that expenses are different. I mean, we're getting a little more into money, but not only has it changed itself, and it's just like a clash. Women are given the opportunities to do more. They've always wanted to do more. They are in the workplace and they're doing it very successfully.
Yes, but even though the opportunities are changing because the world is changing, the mindset isn't changing. That's what I'm trying to say.
I see.
Okay, so being in a relationship, being in a heterosexual relationship, having the woman be the sole breadwinner in many, many, many instances is extremely difficult for a man to handle. I've seen it myself in gay couples where there are two men together and one of them is a sole breadwinner and the other one is not. There is still a sense of competition among males. Men as a species, whether they are straight or gay, seem to be more tied to their career as part of their identity, as opposed to women who seem to be more tied to self-development as their identity. And that's what I seem to be finding in my coaching clients. And there are many instances where men are home and they are assuming the parental role. They are assuming the role of taking care of the household in every way, shape, or form, like the woman did back in the 40s, 50s, or 60s. And still, there is a sense of being unfulfilled, of still not knowing their true purpose. Because many of them are still tied to how much money they make and how they see themselves as productive and purposeful human beings. So here we have Rebecca, who makes more money than her male partner. She says it was never an issue between her and her partner, but I'm not so sure that's the case, because I still think her male partner may feel that he has to catch up in some way. And like you said, naturally compete. It's a competitive thing. Is that what males feel?
I think so. Absolutely. If I put myself in that same position, I would be telling myself the exact same thing. You know, I want to
competition with someone else. That doesn't sound like a loving thing. That sounds like,
and that's
I need
a good
to
point
beat
too.
Somebody.
And maybe that's the thing. And maybe that's a dynamic that might be kind of influencing some things here. Maybe that's an underlying issue between these
but
two.
But that, yes, and that could very well be. And I think that's one of the keys to love and money.
Right.
Does the money part of it become the competition that right. interferes with the love?
And it's particular I use that word too. I just noticed
that I use that generally.
And you know what? When you put that in mind, it's not so much like, you know what, I have to make more than her. It's I want to be in par with her. Maybe from my perspective, it's maybe I want to be an equal, not so much a more. But the way it comes out, and when you consider history, it's hard to argue that it isn't some kind of male bravado and competitiveness in it, you know?
Well, I think male bravado is the perfect explanation for
it. Yeah, well.
Because that's why I feel that it's tied to a male's identity. And I think it's rare that a woman goes to work and her male partner comes home and she constantly feels like she has to compete with him to do better than him or do as well as he does. I don't see, and I would be very surprised at this, any woman saying to me, I want to compete in that way just to do better or just to prove I can do just as well. I don't think that enters into a woman's psyche. I've never seen that happening anyway.
I don't think women naturally carry that either. I agree. I think that when we look at society today, there is a little bit more of that aspect. Just what we were mentioning before, the economy's changed, opportunities come. It's necessity meeting opportunity. I think because of that, a lot of women doing a lot of things, they're strive to be the best. You finally have this opportunity. You have to do better. You have to be better. And I don't think that women necessarily carry that up here in their head, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's not being said or being enforced.
Women do carry in their head, I have to do better. I have to be better. But
yeah.
I don't think it is in direct comparison to their male partners.
I think it's just, I agree with that. I think
okay.
it's just a general deal.
I think it's, you know, women have to work harder in order to be seen and heard above, you know, the male situations and men competing doing the same thing.
They have to run what?
Yes, but in a love relationship, I don't think a woman is thinking, I have to compete with my male partner because my ego has to be stroked by the fact that I can do as well as he does financially. And I think that is a male thing. But getting back to Rebecca here, I do believe that in some ways, the male partner has a right to criticize her spending choices, especially since it is a partnership here. I don't think it really matters that only one person is bringing in the finances. I think that person has a say in what's going on. But if you've entered into a partnership with someone, that means partner. That means equal. That means the both of you are contributing in some way possible to the relationship. Then I think in general how the money is spent is a decision that both partners should be privy to.
Very, very important thing.
Yes, it's true. But there are so many nuances to this. I would think about how I would feel. Okay.
Right.
Being a sole breadwinner, being a woman, being in a partner relationship, the first thing that I would do is question what this partner relationship is all about. Am I living with this person? And if it is a committed relationship, have we talked about the fact that this is the way it's going to be for a while?
Fair questions.
I'm in a marriage with this person, I'm also more obligated because it's a marriage. It's a contractual arrangement. So as a contract, I have entered into this relationship with this person, meaning that my finances may very well be his finances.
That you should be discussing that.
If you're living together in a committed relationship, then I think the biggest arguments that couples have, one of the biggest arguments that couples have, which interferes in the relationship, is whose money is it? Is it my money? Is it your money? Is it our money? And if I'm the sole breadwinner, then I, in some ways, agree with Rebecca in that one can begin to feel, if I'm the only one making money, then I could do whatever I want with my money. It's natural to feel that way.
But unfortunately, if you've entered into a committed relationship, and I mean where you both are living together and sharing responsibilities and expenses,
then you can't do whatever you want with your money. So it becomes limiting. So sometimes one becomes resentful of that. And I think that's what I'm hearing in Rebecca's letter. You know, my money, my rules, don't tell me how to spend my money.
Right. And I think, you know what, I mean, all that very well said again. You're hitting the nail right in the head. You're on the money today, every day.
The bottom line is, just because it's your money, it's not always about your rules.
Correct.
Money doesn't set the tone for all the rules in the relationship.
An everyday conversation, because that could be another aspect that would really, that could be a recipe for resentment, yeah.
Well, it obviously is a resentment here, and I think that the one way that Rebecca can work towards the partnership is to sit down and decide with her partner what money is for the two of them and what money is hers separately. I think one of the ways to alleviate this problem is if Rebecca decides to take a little bit from the money that she's earning as a breadwinner and put that aside as her own private account money. And that way she can do whatever she wants with the money that she has put aside. And that's very common. Couples have joint accounts and couples have separate accounts. And what they do with their separate accounts is their responsibility. So I think
more.
That's something that Rebecca might want to consider. We'll be right back. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. Let's go on to the next letter from one of our listeners.
Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, my partner isn't financially contributing to our home. He used to work full-time, but once we were married, he just decided to retire. He has decided to take on the role of handling our day-to-day living, paying the bills, handling house repairs, making sure the house is clean, and making all the meals. Although I do appreciate that very much, I do think that he still relies on me for sole financial support. It seems that he is spending all of my money, and I'm becoming resentful. Even though my partner doesn't work, I still think he needs a job. What do you think?
Stephen from Rhode Island.
Thanks so much for your letter, Stephen. This actually goes to what you and I, Richard, were talking about before. Here is a male couple where one of them is still working and one of them has decided to retire. But the one that is still working, I believe, is just becoming a little bit resentful over the fact that all the money is being spent with his hard-earned money. So in many ways, it's a lot like Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
But we have two men here that have decided to reverse roles in a way, because
One of them is now in charge of day-to-day living, paying the bills, as he says, handling house repairs, making sure the house is clean and all of that stuff. And although his partner appreciates that very much, he still is resentful that the money is being spent when the money is only being earned by one person. So in many ways, it's very similar to Rebecca's, except that when you seem to have a male component, would you say that sometimes men are more resentful than women?
I think when it comes to money, sure. And especially when we bring up the point that we mentioned a little earlier, the role of a male. Their identity for so long has been connected to what job they have. Now that they're two males, I wonder that if the male who's home, do they still have that kind of entitlement with the money? Well, I'm still a male, I'm still a man, I can make decisions. You know, does that still carry over in that situation? Obviously, we see that the partner making the money, it's their money. So they're, of course, going to be upset about where this money's going, especially if they're not included in decisions.
I think that maybe a male and male partnership may introduce a different dynamic, especially for what we talked about. I do think men are much more tied to their success monetarily. Their identity is directly connected to their monetary success and their career. But I still think that the same situation applies, just as if this was a heterosexual couple. Back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, if the man was the sole breadwinner, the woman was responsible for taking care of the kids and the house, you know, the quote-unquote housewife in the relationship. And I don't think that there was a male in this country nor a female in that role in this country that resented the roles they had. I think it was perfectly acceptable for a woman to understand that the man was the breadwinner, and it was acceptable for the man to understand that he was. I think the roles were clearly defined. But I think as society progressed and women have decided that obviously they needed to go out into the work world and more than that wanted to go out into the work world, that the roles are constantly changing. And because of that, it seems to diminish the importance of the person who stays home and does not work.
I would agree with that, yes. Maybe the roles in terms of the sexes have changed, but that kind of, I guess, first place is the breadwinner, second place is who's home.
Right, right.
And that in of itself is a dynamic. It's almost, it could be belittling. It could be challenging. And I'm sure that the partner at home, not lesser than, but the partner at home,
feels that.
Mm-hmm.
They feel it.
Yeah.
And for all of the
and it's not like the other partner isn't emphasizing that a little bit here, leaning in. Well, I do make the money here.
Exactly. Because we're still ingrained, even though we think we have evolved in the last 50 or 60 years,
mm-hmm.
our psychological thinking has not.
It's exactly the same. That's a great
it's
point.
Exactly the same.
And that's important, especially as we keep seeing changes that people recognize that they don't keep the same habits. Because what's important is what you're saying. It seems to be deciding within these situations what would be the best decision.
Yes. And so because I still think that our society frowns upon the person that is not the financial contributor, then that person will always feel less than. And the financial contributor or the sole breadwinner will always feel more than or put upon. And I think that's pretty crappy.
It is. It is. It's like I said, it's belittling. No one's going to feel good like that. They're like the second rate, second place. Oh, your opinion doesn't matter as much. It's very discouraging.
And that's why I think this episode is so important, because there is a weave and a dance that we do with love and money, because unless you fit into a specific role, it becomes controversial. It becomes, there is a friction attached to who's doing the one that is financially contributing, who's the one that is not, and how much do each one of you make. It's kind of like jockeying for position.
It is, certainly. Certainly is. And I feel especially within their roles. I mean, right now we're focusing on the money part. I wonder, what about the person that's home? Are they have a certain routine, they arrange things a certain way, they accomplish things a certain way. Can they have that same entitlement of saying, well, you know, I do this way at home. Maybe it's, you know, because I'm always doing it, doesn't that mean that I'm responsible for it? What does your opinion matter?
It's very true. I mean, there is no question. The person who is at home, I know from working with clients that are managing different households, that are taking care of children, that are handling all of the bills that are coming in, that are responsible for arranging the household repairs, taking care of the background noise, so to speak, to make the house and the whole family run like clockwork, would very often argue that their role is integral to the way the family operates.
And I would say it is.
But nevertheless,
correct.
I think each role has, you know, has its defenses, so to speak.
Certainly.
And I think each one of them plays a very key role into making that love relationship work. But I think that in today's world, people have to understand the necessity and importance of both roles and how vital they are to keeping the relationship together. I think the best way to get over the stigma of feeling less than or feeling more than in either way is to have each person be involved in all the decision making. Just because someone goes out and works all day long doesn't mean they're exempt from taking care of the kids or knowing how the house runs or cooking a meal or two. And just because you do that all day long, it doesn't mean that you are exempt from maybe doing something else to contribute in a financial way or being much more involved in the bills and where the money is going and be a key partner in the finances in the relationship. It shouldn't be delegated or relegated to one person only. It has to be a partnership in every sense of the word. So, Stephen, my answer to you here is that if your partner chooses not to work anymore because they are retired, then understand that you have to sit down and really discuss how you feel about this and whether or not the partnership will continue to survive, or if you want a partner that is a financial contributor. You have to weigh what this partner brings you in so many different ways, and maybe not look towards finances as a key component of how strong this partnership really is.
Okay, here's another letter from one of our listeners.
Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, my family and I are in serious turmoil. My husband recently had to file for bankruptcy and close his business. He made a lot of money for our family, and he always seemed to balance our finances well. But it turns out, he kept all of our savings in the same account as the business funds. We lost everything. I can't think of anything much worse than this right now. Help. Janet from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Thanks so much for your email, Janet. Boy, Richard, do you believe this?
Oh, this is really, really, really hard. A very difficult situation like bankruptcy. This situation becomes particular because it's hard to not put blame on one partner more than another. There's going to be an element of villain and hero in this one.
Well, I think yes that, and no. Yes and no. I hear exactly.
But not fully.
What you're
yeah,
saying.
Not fully though. Not yep. fully. But, yep. but there are definitely some more than hurt feelings at this point. There are some red flags, if you will.
Yes, there's you know there are serious consequences here to making poor financial decisions, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. And couples have broken up for financial decisions that have gone disastrous. There's no
right.
question.
Right.
First, Jeanette, I'm very, very sorry that your husband put all of his personal stuff with his business stuff, and that's a difficult thing. I mean, there are so many different ways to open up a business with, an LLC or to incorporate. I mean, there are many, many different ways to try to protect your family from your business expenses. So I would say that in itself is the husband's responsibility. There's no question. And certainly he has learned his lesson the hard way.
Agreed.
And I'm not sure about all the ramifications that have resulted in this gross error here. But nevertheless, it's a very difficult situation. And I'm sorry for that. I sincerely hope that as much as your husband has learned his lesson, you have learned yours. As far as I'm concerned, there is no such thing as I didn't know this was happening. In today's world, if you are not smart enough to open your eyes and say, wait a minute, what's going on? Allow me to be involved in everything that's happening in our lives. Then part of this fault rests with Jeanette. No matter what, there are many, many reasons why couples are not openly discussing finances, and some people want to leave business outside of the relationship when they walk in the door. They want to go to work. They want to come home. They want to forget about business. That's a common thing.
Very true.
They don't want to bring their work home. But if you are in your own business and you are using finances to perpetuate that business, and that business is responsible for providing for your family, then everybody has to know about the finances.
I agree, especially if that is essentially the bucket in which your money is coming from.
In which all the money is coming from. Exactly. It's not like you're working for a major corporation and they're responsible for everything. You're getting a salary every week and you're discussing that salary with your wife, and it is not involved in tying up your personal business with your personal finances. So right here, right now, if you are an entrepreneur, if you're going into business for yourself, you have to get the right advice from an attorney. You have to discuss it with your partner, because there is a certain way to make sure that your funds are not commingled. And here the responsibility is with the husband and with the wife, no matter what. And I think in some ways that also is a very 50s thing. You know, it's a very 50s thing. Whatever my husband decides financially is okay. But it's not. And it has nothing to do whether it's a man or a woman. If you're in a partnership and you have money between you, then money has to be discussed between you. Even if one person is more in control than the other.
Correct.
You have to sit down and do the bills together. You have to sit down and know what money is coming in, what money is going out, what you jointly decide to spend on, and what you can spend on separately. It has to be a constant discussion. Otherwise, people will break up because of it, I think.
They will. This is a perfect example of how some of those mistakes can really, really seriously cause issues if they're not handled.
Exactly.
If they're not communicated with.
Exactly. And it says by her letter here that he always made a lot of money for the family. He always seemed to balance the finances well. So let's hope, Jeanette, that your husband can turn things around and do it again. But this time he takes the proper legal steps and you get directly involved in how your money and how this business is working. And if you find that this was a deal breaker and you no longer can continue because of that, then I'm really, really sorry. But no matter what, both of you will never make those kinds of decisions again. We'll be right back. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. Do you want quick answers to things with no BS? Here's my segment, No or Yes.
When you need a quick answer, no BS, ask the Pushy Broad and she'll say no or yes.
Here are some very interesting no or yes questions from our listeners. And I think the way we're going to do this is I'm going to ask you the question, Rich, and then you tell me what you think. Whether it's no or yes, and I will tell you what I think, and then we can discuss it together.
All right.
Okay? All right. So why don't you read question number one?
Sure. Number one, does someone love you more because of the money you make? Yes.
Okay. You say yes. How come?
obviously depending on the person themselves, but I think that someone will find a lot of excuses to be in a relationship. I think money being one of them. I think that if someone is just looking to be happy, be comfortable with someone, I know that money will certainly add to that. I mean, just in terms of what they can enjoy, how spoiled they may be or not, in terms of their lifestyle as a whole, I think that money will definitely influence the way someone perceives their partner.
That's really very interesting. I'm amazed that you said that to me, because I would say no.
Okay.
And here's why. Does someone love you more because of the money you make? I think that love tries to come from an altruistic place. Love comes from a heart place.
Right.
Money comes from a head place. Okay? That's how I see it. I think that there have been people in my life that I have loved regardless of the money that they make.
It's a good point.
I don't necessarily love someone more because of the money they make. I think that money is not a direct contributor to love. I think they're separate. I think money is a direct contributor to character, to ambition, to success, but not to love. So I don't think that you love someone more because of the money they make.
You know, and I think you bring a fantastic point. And I think that was kind of like what I was figuring with it. I always felt yes for pretty much the same reason you brought up now. But in reverse effect, what I mean is I think it can superficially affect, influence the way someone feels about their partner. But ultimately, if they don't love their partner, they just don't love them. I don't think it matters how much they make. That's a great point. That was very well said.
Okay, let's do number two.
Can money buy love? I say it can help generate love, but it can't buy love. So ultimately, no.
Okay, so what do you mean can help generate love?
It might influence the way one would perceive their partner. Would a nice vacations and clothing and luxurious lifestyles help the way someone tolerates another person? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, if they deep down don't love them, it doesn't matter what you throw at them, that love isn't there.
Also, I think money cannot buy love, but it can generate love, meaning not so much the person that is receiving the gifts and everything bestowed upon them, but the fact that I am maybe able to financially find ways to show my love through money.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I'm able to show my love through money, if I'm able to buy something extravagant, buy an extravagant piece of jewelry for someone, or take them on a wonderful trip, or shower them with expensive dinners to show how much I love someone, then it can help to generate that love.
That is a great point. Yeah. That only happens if the love is there. I mean,
yes, it can. You know what we mean by generate? I mean, it can spur things on. It can move things along.
Right.
But basically, it still, I think, becomes the rose-colored glasses.
If you will.
The veil.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Because otherwise, it's very hard to see who that person really is.
Right.
Because generosity doesn't have to be shower with gifts to be generous.
That's true.
Right?
And that's interesting that we're discussing this, because you could see how, for example, luxurious gifts can be used as a mask for whatever other issues are there and whatever love is lacking. Or it can be added to the love, more or less. I mean, you could be in love with someone, they make me feel a certain way, and they do nice things and give me nice things.
Okay, so number three, does money buy happiness?
That's a tough one. I think ultimately, no. No, it doesn't. I think no matter how many things you fill a hole and a void, if there's no true happiness there, then it's not going to do anything for you. But I do think that money can be used as a tool to accomplish certain aspects of happiness. However, ultimately, no, it does not buy happiness. It doesn't.
I hear you. I think the answer to that for me would be maybe. I think money can buy a lot of happiness.
That's true. And who wouldn't agree? Right.
I think money can buy a lot of happiness, because I think that some of the things that people are unhappy about is their lack of money. So yeah. I think that in itself, if money was not a factor in one's happiness, then one could really determine how happy they actually are. But I think one of the reasons why people are so unhappy, as I said, is because of money and the stress of money and the finances. And I think if that were removed, then one could really decide what their happiness was all about. That being said, I do have clients that where money is not a problem, ever. Ever. Money is not really a cause for distress. And yet, there's still unhappiness for something. Something else is going on in their life that makes them unhappy. But I think to a certain extent, money can buy some happiness sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
All right, the next one. Is love more important than money?
No.
Okay, that was a very emphatic no.
It was. I think it's kind of within that question. Is love more important than money? A maybe. It goes back to a maybe. If money is used to compensate for something missing, I mean, that's a whole other problem right there. That just means that something, again, is missing. I think you could be the richest person in the world, but if you don't have that love, that's always going to be the most important thing that is missing from your life.
Okay,
that's
so
stopping
then
you.
Love is more important than money.
Yeah, I think so. Because also, too, if love is there, then they can tolerate, well, okay, we don't have that much money, or, oh, we only have a limited amount of money. It can certainly cause a lot of issues, without a doubt. It would be foolish to not think that it doesn't, but I think it is the deal breaker more often than money is.
Love is the deal breaker more often than money is.
I'd say so.
In the relationship.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think it depends upon what marriage you're on. I do.
That's a good point.
I do. I mean, there are so many things. And I mean, the older you get, the more you realize that, you know, so many people have said that you marry the first time for love, the second time for money, and the third time for companionship.
Huh, that's a good point. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't remember who said that, but I'll find it in my notes here. I think that ultimately love is more important than money when it comes to the love you feel for your family. Love is more important when it means the love you feel for your children. But sometimes love isn't more important than money if money is a deciding factor in how you feel about the person you're with. For instance, you're in a relationship with someone that you love, you know, beyond. I mean, you think this person is the best thing in the world and you love them to death. But then it turns out that they are lazy and they're not working in their home and they're not financially contributing at all. And you are left to do everything. And the bills and the responsibility of bills and all the finances are yours with no contributor at home. No matter how much you love that person, money is more important.
That's a good point. And that, you know what, that was exemplified in our Everybody Needs a Little Push segment. We saw the resentment that Rebecca and Steven started to feel for their partners. That it's exactly that. That because they feel their partner is lazy, not contributing, whatever it might be, money is more important in that situation. Because it's clearly it's a lack of it that's causing some issues here.
Exactly. So is love more important than money? Not always. Right?
Not always.
Okay. Let's move on to the next no or yes question.
All right. Is money the number one cause for couples to fight? I'd say yes sometimes. I know that sometimes, kind of like we alluded to earlier, someone could be money is not an issue and maybe that there's other kind of aspects that are lacking from their relationship. But kind of back to the letters we read today. Money can be a major reason why people are fighting, especially if someone, I mean, if they're not contributing, if they're reckless with their money, if they're, you know, spending money left and right, then that could be a serious issue. That can be a deal breaker for people. I do like to think, and maybe this is me wearing rose-colored glasses, if you will, that love would supersede an issue like money. But I think what it really boils down to is communication. If that hasn't been explained that this is a problem, then, oh yeah, it can lead to the downfall of a relationship.
Oh, money's right up there.
Oh, yeah.
Money is like interchangeable. I mean, you know, it's always about money.
Always. It always, you know, I will say this, even for the most communicative and strong relationships, money seems to always creep its way in somehow, some way.
It's a very big reason why couples fight.
Yeah.
And it's a very big reason why couples break up. It's all about that. The next one, does money buy you respect?
I think it does buy people respect. Is that it's still a little more superficial? Sure. But looks are deceiving, and I think when people present themselves a certain way, they utilize their money buying luxurious clothing, cars, homes. You know, social media is huge today. How often do people take pictures of their vacations and whatever they're doing privately? I think that money, it certainly builds perception, and respect being one of them. So, yes.
I think so, too. I think money buys you respect. I think that, however, that's short-lived.
Yeah.
Right?
Feels like that.
It's a short-term thing, because I think once somebody gets to know that person...
That seriously alters things. Yeah.
Yes.
Because you could have all the things you want, but if you're a jerk,
right.
you aren't going to have respect. And that's the thing. I mean, we see it with celebrities today.
Mm-hmm.
We see it with all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, too? I would say, even if they were nice, I think just, what if there was someone richer than you? There was someone much more wealthier than you that had more things to impress others.
Well, that's true. But with money, but respect and money are tied to success,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is. I mean, but even though sometimes if you're a self-made millionaire, that comes with a certain amount of respect. Okay?
That's true.
If money's being handed down from generations, that's a different kind of respect.
Right.
Not as much respect as if you made it all yourself.
Right.
Right?
That is true.
It's all of those things. But with respect can come love, but not necessarily.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
It pays. It's nice to be with someone, obviously, that you respect. And if money is one of those ways, then that's part of someone that you can love, which is someone that you can respect.
That is true,
right?
Especially, yeah, because that is a quality that a lot of partners looking for. And as we have done our research, and we've seen that women particularly really look and search for those other qualities. I know that money is a thing, but if they meet the man of their dreams, who so happens to run his own business, whether he's a millionaire or not, billionaire or not, if they see that they're a hardworking person, that can really add to the allure of who their partner is to them.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. And we've done some research on that, and I'm going to tell you about that. And it goes to show that for the most part, when women consider being in a relationship with a man, not only do they consider their looks and their personality, but the kind of person that they are in terms of their financial success is extremely important to them. Whereas with men that are wealthy to begin with, or even not as wealthy, they don't seem to be looking for a woman that has financial means, not as a general rule. They're looking for attraction first.
Right.
Okay, and the security part of it is not something that they're always looking for. But a woman is always looking for security as well. But ironically enough, I think that also dates back to the 1940s, 50s, 60s, where women are still, in some sense of the word, looking for a sense of financial security in a heterosexual relationship. And even in a gay relationship, I think women are still looking for an independence, which comes from financial security.
It's still financial security.
Yes,
whether it's to comfort them or it is seen as something attractive to them.
It is.
It still matters.
It is. And that kind of goes with the next thing here. Does money bring comfort and security?
Yeah.
Without
a doubt. Yeah, it does. I mean, there's certainly obviously more instances where it's more prevalent than others, but I mean, we could see it. It's just the fact that it's research at this point, not that's concrete for everybody, but we see how particularly that women look for additional qualities in a male. I think it's funny though, with comfort and security. I think there are males out there that do look for other aspects in women. I think being attractive is one thing, but I think a male would probably want women who are considerate, caring, loving, whatever that might be. And that could be tied into maybe some home role as well. But
when I think, does money bring comfort and security? I think that's strictly a female statement in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think...
Traditionally, yeah, you're right.
I'm not so sure that men would look upon money as comfort. Security, yes, but not so much comfort. I think comfort is, you know, like a blanket, a warm blanket taking care of you.
Right.
And I think women look for that more than men do, generally.
Yes.
Okay?
I would say
but
so, yeah.
But I do think that comfort and security is very prevalent when it comes to money. And I know that depending upon where you are in your life and the things that you want, that many, many people, maybe in their later in life when they get married, or maybe in their second marriage or more than that, look for comfort and security.
I would say so. Yeah. I mean, and especially
too, physical attraction.
That's a great point. I mean, because too, I mean, they almost have the practice at this point. I hate to look at it as just that. They have the experience in knowing what relationships, you know, what is lacking from a relationship. They could have whatever love and whatever strong emotional ties to a partner in a first marriage. And then the second one, they realize, you know what, but you know, this other thing is more important. And I could see that. I could see how money or companionship becomes more important.
Yes, it does. But I think ultimately, at least for me, it wasn't more important. Because the second time around, I married for comfort and security.
You like skip the step there. Well, at least according to research.
The second time around, I married for comfort and security. And it did not work for me. Because there were other things that I wanted more, or realized that I wanted more. And one of those was a truer sense of partnership and not just comfort and security. I realized that marrying for comfort and security for me was because I didn't feel enough comfort within myself, and I didn't feel secure enough within myself, because I believe that comfort and security has to come from within, and it is not an external situation. So unfortunately, I do think people marry for comfort and security, but I don't think it's a true lasting marriage and a good choice.
I would agree.
All right. So the last one is interesting. Do people marry for love or money?
Oh, both. It has to be both. And I know that's, it's not definitive, but I think, I mean, how many people, I mean, it kind of, let's go back to that research there. I mean, a lot of people, they might marry for love. Let's say they remarry, they marry for comfort and security. I think that money is definitely a huge influence for someone to marry. Even if someone's getting married for the first time, I mean, there's all types of societal pressure, especially for a female. I'd got to say, you know, you're this age, you're getting married for the first time. Well, I think this is a great partner because they make a lot of money. I see that in the mid and earlier 20th century, that was more prevalent, that it mattered that a male partner was secure and financially stable. I think that still exists today. And I think that there are plenty of people that would marry based on the allure and opportunity that a rich person would bring to their life.
Well, we have an article here, Do Americans Marry for Love or Money? By Quentin Fottrell. And he writes online that some 56% of Americans say they want a partner who provides financial security more than head over heels love, which is only 44%. A recent survey released by Merrill Edge, an online discount brokerage firm and a division of Bank of America, found that this sentiment is held in almost equal measure by both men and women, 54% to 57%. Generation Z, born between 1996 and 2010, when were you born?
95.
Okay, well, you just missed the cutoff. Generation Z, born between 1996 and 2010, is the only generation to choose love over money.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm thinking maybe you're a little romantic, but that's okay. The reason for choosing money over love, they said that one of the reasons why marriages don't last is poor financial planning. So people find that they're not planning well for their future, so they've had difficult experiences in their marriage, which shows them that this time, if they're going to go around again, if it's another marriage, that they would really want to have somebody that's financially secure. It also says here that an attitude of whether or not you're going to marry for love and money really depend upon what wedding it is for you. According to the very famous and quite legendary Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, the quote that I made before, the first time you marry for love, the second for money, and the third for companionship. Because you want different things in your life. So I would say that in general, people do want the Hallmark version of love.
Yeah.
You see that wonderful person across the room, your eyes light up, it's your soulmate, you're walking hand in hand. It doesn't matter if you have a dime to your name, love will conquer all.
Mm-hmm.
That's a TV show.
No, that is. I think that was so funny. I have to go back to that stat about the about Generation Z. I said, really? Really, in response to the fact that they would choose love. And I think bringing up that Hallmark aspect of relationships, I think it's so true. I think it's been ingrained. I mean, in that generation, I mean, how many romantic movies have been made up to this point? How many narratives, books, everything, all kinds of form of entertainment that have told us, hey, no matter what you have, love is the most important thing. I mean, this generation, and I'm not far off from it. I might throw myself in that. I mean, this is what we've been told. It's what we've been told forever.
But it's not only what you've been told.
Right.
It's what I've been told. It's what the world is supposed to be made of, right?
Forever,
love,
yes.
Love makes the world go round.
Right.
Nobody says that it's actually money that makes the world go round, but it's love that makes the world go round.
Right.
It's very nice to have that with lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening, and remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the Pushy Broad from the Bronx.